The title of the word this morning is Emmanuel. People in our lives and situations in our lives are there to expose hidden things. And I'm wondering what kind of response do we have to the situations and people in our lives? Sometimes my response is I humble myself and I go before the Lord and ask Him to heal my heart. Other times it's, you know, you think, I know what the problem is. So-and-so needs to change. Or maybe our response is, the devil's after me. But when we respond properly to the Lord, then we see Him and we hear Him and we grow. When we respond in a religious or a codependent fashion, then we'll see other people's weaknesses and we'll believe that we have the answer for that. And then, you know, maybe we're going to force our kingdom agenda on those around us. And I know I've done it. I see other people doing it. You know, we have an idea how we think the world should be under God's care, and we behave like we got an edict from some distant king and we're supposed to dominate and make it happen. But that kind of reinforces the notion that we're separate from Him, and we're not. But our discomfort and misery is not always someone else's fault. I mean, if you look at all the stuff in your life that you don't like, you could probably point a finger to someone, right, or some situation that you shouldn't be in. But let's turn to Luke 6. And I'm going to read this out of the King James Version. It's pretty neat. There's something in the King James that the other translations don't really hit. So we're going to start at verse 38. This whole chapter here talks about relationship. But in verse 38 it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So you notice here that it says men are going to give back to you. And what this is about is we're creating the environment we live in. The way that what we give out to others around us is what they're going to respond in kind with. And it says it's going to be running over. So it's a creative process. So it's going to expand and we're going to get a lot back. So if we're responding in the spirit, we'll get that back and a lot. But if we're relating in a codependent fashion or in a religious spirit, we're going to get that back. And then we got more trouble than we started with. Right?
Excuse me.
So, my actions and my attitudes create. So no one can say, I'm not creative. We're all creative. This, sometimes you don't want to be creative, right? We're all creative. Now, let's talk about the cross of Christ. What comes to your mind?
Sacrifice.
Pain and suffering, sacrifice. That's what I thought would come to mind. Pain and suffering. What about this? What's this? Yeah. What condition is it? What condition is the glass?
Half full.
Now, isn't it? This is funny. This is funny because when we talk about the cross of Christ, we think of the negative, pain and suffering. But when I show you a glass half full, you think the positive. The cross of Christ is the most positive thing that's ever happened to us. We relate to it as stuff God wants to take away from us. He isn't trying to eradicate the bad stuff out of our life. He's trying to give us His life. Okay, we see it. We see it from the backside. We're always thinking that God doesn't want me to enjoy myself. You know, I've only got a few pleasures here on earth, and He wants them all. The only way for His life to flood ours is as we're being connected to Him. And we are connected. So when we think of the cross, let's think of the positive side of it. He's giving us His life, and our response correctly is just to let go of the death. Because sin nature is dead. So we just let go of the death and we can receive His life. Now it's less than half full. So this is what I want. I want you to listen really carefully to these. I wrote a few things down. And it's all about being connected to Him. When life has left us feeling beat up and rejected, He is with us, pulling us out of the ditch. When we're traveling through a dark valley, He's with us. When we're on the road to Emmaus, confused about the day's events, He's with us. When we're afraid and we've locked the doors, He's with us. When the storms of life threaten to drown us, He's with us in the boat. When we've received a fatal blow, He's with us breathing life and calling us out of the tomb. Let's turn to Romans 8. He's with us. Even when we're not aware of His presence, He's with us. And I apologize for butchering this chapter, but I don't think we have the time to really expound all that's here. It's just so much good stuff. I'm going to read out of the Message because the Message brings out something that I'm interested in. And we'll start at 28. But I'm gonna read out of the NIV to start with, and then I'll read out of the Message. Just to make sure you're thoroughly confused. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Okay, now I'm going to go back and read that again in the Message. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his Son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. Isn't that beautiful? Before we go any further, you know, the NIV says, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Is there anyone here that God didn't foreknow? Raise your hand. He foreknew everyone. Everyone. That's his wish, that we all are conformed to Christ. We're complete in him. So we'll continue. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own Son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. And he quotes, "They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one." None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. We're complete in him. We're one with him. But I don't know about you, I still get hung up on my performance or my lack of performance. But the beautiful thing about that is he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't point the finger. The Father's love is so strong for us. Let's turn back to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. start at verse 21. I'm going to read out of the message again, but this is a little closer to what you're reading out of. At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Seven?" Jesus replied, "Seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven." This is how the Lord relates to us too. Is there anything that you can do that he's going to run out of forgiveness for? I don't think so. And if you read, we'll read the rest of this. If this is the way that the Father relates to us, then this is the way we relate to others. So he says, "The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up, so the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children, and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, 'Give me a chance, and I'll pay it all back.' Touched by his plea, the king let him off, erasing the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He seized him by the throat and demanded, 'Pay up now.' The poor wretch threw himself down and begged, 'Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back.' But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid." The thing that confronts me so much is in my flesh, I'm a terrible person. God loves me so much. And he's shown me that we're all free to let that love flow through us. We make choices. Make choices to react or just to be a channel of God's grace. Do you know where the Ten Commandments is? Do you know where those are written? They're in Deuteronomy 5. I've broken all of them. Some of them a few times and some of them many. But he rescued me. Put his love in my heart. And I just want to love the way he loves. And not once in a while when I'm thinking about it, just automatically. It's easy to love you all. But what about when somebody challenges you or presses you into a corner or antagonizes you? That's a real opportunity for his love. I'm going to read something to you. It's Psalm 133. It's really simple. "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard." There's such an anointing in love. That's, we're free to express that. I don't know what else to say. I hope I got it all.
So you just thank you that you didn't know that you first got here.
Thank you for your love and your constant presence. We're like you. We're more than half full. Amen.
First John speaks a lot about the love, and one verse says we've come to know and believe the love he has for us. And as we experience that, we realize that this thing of loving one another is not some mandate that do it or else. When you really know that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, loving one another is the opportunity we're given in this life. It's how we create heaven on earth. And I like in the beginning of the word, something just really hit me. You know, Terry was speaking about how in the way that we treat one another, we create the atmosphere that we live in. As we treat one another in the love that God has put in our heart, we create the atmosphere. We create the very air that we breathe. We create our own happiness, our own joy, our own blessing. That is so true. Amen. Let's stand together, and I'd like us just to worship, maybe sing one song together and worship and just thank the Lord for this living word he's given us today.
Good morning, Cheryl. So good to see you.